You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
It's Friday, March 17th, 2020. Thanks for joining us. I want to try to be lighthearted today on this Flea Flicker Friday, because I really do want to kick it into Flea Flicker Friday. Got a lot of stuff, a lot going on, man. I want to publicly again thank Dale Socha and his son David, who've come and just done yeoman's-like work up at Sky High, laying the floors. If you guys have never laid floor, man, I got great respect. Talk about spending your life on your knees. That's what you do when you're laying floor. And hopefully we're going to be very near having that thing finished today. And Dale and David have just given of themselves. It's been great. Michelle's cooked up a storm. Mike Blake came by. It's just been good. It's just all been good. And I just thank God that I wish I was more service oriented. Dale Socha lives a life of service, folks. I can tell you. I never ask what's in it for him and what am I going to get out of it. Just shows. I like to, when I grow up, I want to be like Dale Socha. Got several things I want to cover here this morning. And this is just the calm before the storm. I want to try to be somewhat lighthearted today, but realistic. And I'm not into fear porn. That's not what motivates me. That's not what drives me. I don't have a spirit of fear. I've not been afraid this whole time during this whole thing that's gone on. I've tried to be realistic in what we bring to the table to try to awaken you and help you to understand and give you tools that you can share with others. And you know that there's one we put on the website yesterday, a video from Dr. Shiva. If you haven't watched that video, I mean, there's some really, really good stuff. And again, the purpose of that is for you to be able to help red pill others. Don't waste your time trying to convince them, folks. Just try to put things in their hands that one of the worst things that happens to us is we try to convince others and it turns them away, because they're already locked in. Their real plan when they come to meet with you is they want to calm you down. It's like funny story. It's not. My wife said, my daughters are saying, Mom, is there something wrong with Dad? Dad seems forgetful. I tell him something and he doesn't remember it the next day. God bless my wife, because she deals with it, you know. She says, she explains to us, the girls, listen, your dad's just got a lot of files in his head. When you start talking to him and you give him information that he doesn't really deal with, he gets information overload in that file and he shuts that file down. Dad's brain's perfectly fine. It's okay. So if that happens to you and you told me something, I forgot about it. It's just kind of the way we roll. I want to make you aware of a few things as we head into Flea Flicker Friday here. I got Stephanie's going to join us here in a second. Did you guys know that tomorrow, April 18th, that's one of Satan's high holidays. Did you guys know that? I got to be honest with you. I knew somewhat about it, but I didn't know it. Chad rattled off the other day some of the things that happened on April 18th. And Stephanie, who used to be dealing in the occult, is going to come in and talk to us a little bit about some of those high holidays and why April 18th, tomorrow, is important. And that we maybe need to gird ourselves up for something that coming from the demonic realm tomorrow. But I want to also, again, not fear porn, try to be prepared. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Folks, I've been saying to anybody who would listen that we have not yet seen the impact of this government shutdown. We haven't seen it. And I don't know how long it's been. Larry said it was January 13th, I think, or 23rd. I think he said, I don't know. But when we first began to close down here, and they talked about being closed down for a month, we kind of poo-pooed it and laughed. And that's, a month, they're not going to do that. Well, I want you to consider this. That let's say it began on March 1st. I don't know when it was. So March 1st, they do the close down, right? And so some people get to work, some don't get to work. But most people are stayed at home, and then they get a paycheck maybe every 2 weeks. So they get a paycheck on March 15, let's say. And then they go two more weeks and they hit April, first week of April, and there's no paycheck. Now, hopefully that government check comes, $1,000, which kind of brings the pressure down a little bit because it is some money coming in. But then guys go another week and there's still no paycheck. And as they're sitting around, they're looking out on the horizon. They're thinking, golly, if I go to work right now today, I'm not going to get a paycheck for two more weeks. And so they're beginning, it's beginning now to really, really hit home with people who, for the most part, we know that in America, people live from paycheck to paycheck. We know that. So we're going to begin to see some, these pushbacks that are going on. And I know Jeff Klein and Pastor Bill and those guys are having one at the State House today. And I'm going to try to get over, but I got an obligation up here to finish what we're doing at Sky High. There's a big one going on today, Friday. There's one going on Saturday. There's a drive-by, I think, on Saturday. They're going to try to close down the State House here in Ohio. And another one on Monday. Folks, the natives are beginning to get restless. But there are some things going on around us that we're not really aware of in regards to the food supply and some, without getting into the real details of it, food processing plants are shutting down. One food processing plant I saw in particular had 69 employees come down with the virus, 69. So the plant was shut down. And I saw a very good video today. I can't remember. Rich sent it to me. Somebody sent it to me. And take hogs, for instance. If you're in a hog factory, from the time a little baby hog is produced, it's 5 months until it's ready for market. 5 months. And so they have meat already in the pipeline now, but some of it they're not sure what they're going to do with it because they can't process it. Are they just going to kill them and throw them in a land dump someplace? Who knows what's going on? But it doesn't matter. The point I'm making is pork, there's going to be a delay in pork in particular. It's going to take 5 months to get that pipeline back to where it was supposed to be if it ever comes back. It's true in beef. It's true in chicken. It's true in milk. It's true in all of these things. So, friends, if they open up the government tomorrow, please understand this scab is still oozing, all right? Just be aware of that and that people are going to get more and more on edge because the reality of looking and saying, golly, two more weeks before I get a paycheck, well, how are we going to make it? And, you know, domestic violence breaking out in homes. And I've said for quite a while that I thought the real pushback was going to come from what I call the NASCAR crowd. The guys who have God tattooed on their arm but wouldn't know Jesus Christ if he showed up and knocked on their door. But they're God-fearing Americans, not led by the Holy Spirit, not controlled by the Holy Spirit. Those boys start to get hungry, and they start seeing their kids get hungry, and they start falling behind on their bills. We've got to be really, really careful about how those guys are going to react without even getting in to the depth of the inner cities and what could possibly be going on there. So let's hope the government opens back up. But I guess my message to you today, boys and girls, it's not clear sailing yet. We're not into clear. Who knows what's going to happen with the money? Are we going to come out of this thing with the dollar even functioning? Are they setting us up for something else? So again, let's try for us to be at least on the cutting edge and understand what's going on so we can be of some resource to those around us who aren't as deeply connected. Because I'm sure it's happening to you. I'm hearing from people say, Coach, you've been talking about this, Coach. What do we do? What about this and what about that? And it's a great opportunity to help red pill people and open their eyes and eventually, of course, lead them to the truth and help them walk through this thing. So it's a great time, man. It's exciting times. And we know this. The scripture tells us, and know this also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Let's go there real quick if we can. Let's be 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I think it is. Did somebody try to come in? I thought I heard somebody.
Yeah, it was me, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
I walk my dog. We go past the juvenile probation detention center. And one of the JPOs, his name is Hammer, by the way, very aggressive. I asked him, he was outside coming out of his vehicle and walking in. I said, hey, Hammer, what's the crime like today? And he says, it's nothing's changed, but it has become quiet.
Mm. Yeah, just before the explosion. Hey, I was wrong. It's chapter 3. Let's go chapter 3 real quick. And again, folks, as I shared with you here in my view in regards to 2 Timothy, this is not an end time verse. It's about the nature of man and where man's going to go. And so as we man unrestrained by the Spirit of God, this is where they're going to go, whether it be in the end times or whether it be in the midst of, no matter what. And understanding the nature of men, this is where we're going to end up, okay? So it says here, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So I want to stop right there. If you believe we're in the last days, whatever that means, perilous times are coming, folks. So you take your theology and you plug your theology in however you want to plug it in, whether it's end time or not, perilous times are going to come, all right? Why? Now, here's why perilous times are going to come. Let's not get this backwards, okay? Perilous times do not bring these things out of men. The nature of men create perilous times. You understand, like Jeff just said? Silence. Silence before the explosion, right? Why? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's what's going to drive men. Food lines, fighting over food, all that's to anger. Why? Because they love their own selves and they're covetous. They want what you have or what the rich have or what the government has. That's covetousness. Very few people at this time in this place are giving out. Most are looking to take. Why? It's the nature of man. They're lovers of their own selves. They're covetous. They're boasters. They're proud, blasphemers. Did you see that the Governor Cuomo said that when the flu deaths went down, God didn't have anything to do with that, Cuomo said. God didn't have anything to do with that. We did that because we social distanced or whatever, right? Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Men are unthankful and unholy. See, men have become so self-sufficient that they don't even know how to receive really anymore. We don't know how to do it. And again, because men are, remember, perilous times are coming. Why? Because our men are without natural affection. See, the natural affection is bringing the perilous times. The perilous times aren't bringing the natural affection. We have it backwards. They're without natural affection. What's natural affection? I was standing out in front of an abortion clinic down in North Carolina one day. That scripture popped in my mind because I always thought that without natural affection meant homosexuality. That's what I thought it meant. And I'm standing outside that abortion clinic watching those women go in there to kill their babies. And boom, it hit me. There it is. It's not even natural for a woman to kill her baby. She has a natural affection within herself. She has a mother gene inside of her. Well, in the last days, what? There ain't going to be any natural affection. Remember, this is not the sign of the end times. The end times are going to come because this is what people are like. This is what they're like. They have no natural affection. They don't even take care of their kids. They don't educate their kids. They'd rather smoke dope, get high on crack, than take care of their kids. That's not even natural, right? Now, is the end times causing this, or is this causing the end times? They're truce breakers. Remember promise keepers came around? False truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. My, my, my. Traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, love more than lovers of God. Unbelievable, huh? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this is sort, for of this sort are they which creep into houses through the TV and the radio and magazines, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, listen to me. This is not a sign of the end times. It's this happening in the hearts of men that are bringing the perilous times. You see it? You see it? So that's what we're faced with right now. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, a form of godliness. All of this stuff is upon us right now. So we shouldn't be surprised, folks. It's the heart of men. We got to turn the heart of men. We have to turn the heart of men back to God. It's our only hope. And thankfully, hopefully, in this time, the tough times that appear to be coming in the next however long, they're talking about a year. You understand that? A year? People continue to live like this for a year. It ain't going to be pretty. So I want to encourage you, not discourage you. But at the same time, understand that there are going to be some hungry folks, and there's going to be some unruly folks that are on the horizon. Anybody want to add anything to that? I want to take you, Stephanie, get ready, because I want to take you to this holiday thing. Go ahead. Somebody come on in.
Yeah, Coach. Yeah, where I live, yeah, there's a notice of road rage. People are not paying the speed limit. I was in the Navy, boss. I'm out to sea for 99 to 100 days at a shot, depending on what's going on. And I have the capability because I have that experience. But when you have people who lack experience, they don't know what to do with themselves. Mm-hmm. It's natural to go absolutely bananas and frustrated.
And so, Jeff, from my standpoint, one of the points that I've been trying to help people to understand, see, the church has not been equipped. We're not equipped, folks. The church is not equipped. So if the church isn't equipped, who do you turn to? Well, you turn to the government. We turn to the government to be doing the things that the church should have been doing. And as a result, then we become slaves to the government. They're talking about vaccines and all that kind of stuff. And remember, cause and effect, cause and effect. The cause of the end times, in my opinion, is the heart of man. The heart of man's causing what we see. Not the end times causing the heart of men to change. It's a revealing and an unveiling of people beginning to see exactly what's going on. So just take that with a grain of salt, and let's just stay close to the Lord and keep hunkered down and be prepared for anything, any opportunity that you might have. Anybody else want to shift gears here in a minute? Anybody else got anything you want to add? All right. Tomorrow's Stephanie, are you in there, sweetheart?
I'm here, Coach.
Okay, great. Stephanie sent me an email a couple days ago, actually. Maybe it might have even been a week ago. We're talking about occult holidays, and we don't even realize. We don't, folks, the enemy is constantly. He never rests. And sadly, we're told in the scriptures that we are not to be ignorant of his devices, but we really, really are. I remember when I first started hearing about 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, maybe now, from Russ Dizdar and those kind of guys about occult forces and MK Ultras and satanic ritually abused children. I had no idea. I had no idea. And I know this as a pretty much a cutting edge guy. If I didn't know it, the guy sitting beside me in church certainly didn't know it. And the whole idea of wrestling not against flesh and blood, and our weapons of our warfare not being carnal, but being mighty through God to pull down. I had no idea how to exercise any of those things. I didn't have any idea. I didn't have any idea that Satan, I'll never forget, it was Doc Marquis told me. He said, don't you understand that Satan mimics everything the church does? Church has communion. Satan has communion. Church has holidays. Satan has holidays. Church has rituals, traditions. Satan has rituals and traditions. Satan mocks, copies everything that God has done. Satan tries to steal it, tries to claim it as his own. And so the church of Satan, the what do you ever want to call it, the demonic realm, the Wiccans and the deep Masons, Masonic and all that, folks, they are actively involved in their belief system, and we don't know it. In church, we don't know it. And as a result, they're continuing to thrive in this time in which we're in because they're practicing their religious beliefs, and we ain't got any idea what their religious beliefs are. So Stephanie was saying to me the other day, because I was talking about tomorrow being the day of Paul Revere's ride on the 18th of April, 75. Hardly Man is now alive. Remember William Longfellow? Was it Longfellow wrote that? Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. It happened on April 18th. And Chad Estes, I don't know if Chad's in here. Chad popped in here the other day and said, well, you know, this happened on April 18th, and 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 this happened on April 18th. And then Stephanie sent me an email, said, well, Coach, April 18th's a high holiday. It's a big deal in the demonic realm. So Stephanie, come on in here a second and explain what's going on with April 18th. By the way, Stephanie, you plugged into the occult. She did this stuff, folks. This stuff is real. This isn't tinfoil hat. Laugh at it. This is real stuff. Come on in, Steph.
Hi, Coach. Yeah, to let everybody know, when it comes to the Satanism, the guy that came on before me, that Zach, was it Zachariah and Stitchum? He yeah. would be able to better answer specific more about the Satanism, because, I mean, those were those people around me. I was into the Wiccan pagan stuff, so there's a little bit of a difference, not much. The Wiccan and the people, like I said, like I was with, we did more of the spring, summer, the equinoxes, the natural, the wheel cycle of seasons. But to Satanists, yeah, that's a very strong, they do blood ritual. They do, that's a very strong buildup up until Beltane, which is a holiday that we celebrated. That's spring. That's halfway between, you're halfway to the summer solstice, which is the peak holiday. So in your spell working and all of that, you're building what's called a cone of power, you know, and so this is a whole buildup of energies that they do. So a release point usually up until that point. So it's a very strong holiday. This is an awakening. It's springtime. Things were sleeping. Oh, it's an awakening.
A clone of power. That's interesting. I immediately fall mega a cone. So they try to conjure up this power and direct it towards a specific point. Is that what you're saying, Steph?
Yes, yes. And what I want everybody to understand, it is all about the energy and every day. And even when you don't even mean, it's the intent and where the energy is going. Mark Trump's always talking about, you know, the energies that we put out. It's exactly like that. Even if you're unwillingly, even though you're doing something, you don't even know it. Oh, Lord, please don't make me talk about that. Fornication is a sexual ritual, regardless if you believe in it or not. You're having sex that produces, oh Lord, come on, please. You're having sex and that gives energy. So whether you're thinking about it or not, and you're just thinking about your body and this meat suit and what feels good, literally you're creating a cone of power that you're building to a release, and that release energy goes somewhere. So if you're not doing it in holy union, that energy is going to the other side.
Wow, you know that, and Stephanie, I'm just thinking about that as you said that without getting too graphic. When you think about the sex act, it does build to an energy release.
It's a huge thing for Beltane. Beltane is huge about sexual energy and buildup. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I Lord wanted me to say that I was, that was definitely... I was a freely fornicator for 7 years, and this all changed me, because it's literally about the energy. Everything that we do produces energy, and they know this. So this is a build up to Beltane. April 18th is more of a blood ritual for the Satanists. It's a big thing, a bloodletting. This is what they would do, the sacrifice. There's always a fire involved. There's always a We would always build a big bonfire, and there'd be drums and dancing. Well, dancing around that fire is also creating an energy that goes up. You know, everybody drinks, and then they go out and they do their thing, and that creates energy, and then that goes out too. And this is a build-up into summer solstice, which is a big one. But Beltane coming up is a huge for Wiccan. And the 18th, like I said, is blood ritual. And blood, that's why the abortion, why are they pushing this abortion right now? Because it's energy. It's blood ritual.
Wow.
Women think they're going, my body, my choice. This is all about the energy and where it's going. And they're pushing it just like with Hitler when they knew the tanks were coming and they knew they were going to get taken over. What was he doing? He was shoving people into those ovens, pushing them for the energy, for the ritual of it.
Wow.
That's what's going on right now. And this is this big, huge push. And with all of this going on right now, these holidays, they follow their holidays to a T. This is, you know, everything's ritual. They try to follow intent with everything that they do. And it's all about the energy. And whether you believe in it or not, that's the whole deception.
They do.
They don't want you to think about it. They just want you to do it. It's okay. Go ahead and do that. It's no problem. It's your body, your choice. Feels good. You're not harming anybody. Go party. Go have sex with everybody that you want to, you know. And they think they're just having fun and harming nobody. And literally all that energy is going out anyhow. And they don't find out until it's too late.
Not only that, Stephanie, we think it's harmless, don't we? We think
exactly.
That's just what sinners do. That's how sinners behave. But there's a greater power and greater force that's going on in the midst of all that. Right, Steph?
Yes. But this is a buildup right now from springtime until the summer solstice. Right now, the May 1st Beltane is a big one. And then coming up, there's going to be a huge buildup. And like I said, people are seeing people going crazy because they're sick of being at home with all of our rights and stuff being taken away. But also there's a buildup of evil in people, because if you're leaving yourself open to that side, everything is searching for a meat suit right now that can. And the doors and gates are open right now, and more things are coming through. And it's like, what was that movie? Ghostbusters, you know, when everything starts coming in and going into people. It's kind of sort of getting like that, only this isn't nothing yet. This isn't anything yet. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And this coronavirus, you know, we're being distracted right now. We're all being afraid and, you know, told to hunker down. Human touch creates energy. We're being told not to touch each other. How do humans heal each other? We touch, we hug, we touch hands. Now they're trying to take us apart energy-wise, where we can't even touch each other.
Amen.
So I mean, this is all... It's all supernatural, Coach. It's all supernatural, and it's all about energy. Your thoughts during the day when you're all by yourself, you know, you're all by yourself, no one's around. What are you thinking about? Are you, like, angry about what's going on? Are your thoughts? That's what's important, because that's where it works on you. That's where they sneak in on you. It's all about intent and energy.
So if we think about it, or don't think about it, I tried to pull it up. Chad talked about it yesterday. Oklahoma City, bombing Oklahoma City, April 18th. David Koresh, DJ Waco was on April 18th. We've had a lot of things that have happened throughout our history that occurred on April 18th. Now, there are a lot. My sister is one of them. My sister, I say this in a nice way. Boy, she's into numbers. She is really into numbers. And you have a conversation with my sister, Jane, and she's all of a sudden putting numbers together. Oh, well, this is the 19th, and 1 plus 9 equals 10. And 10. I mean, unbelievable the way some people are wired that way. And again, folks, scriptures tell us not to be ignorant of his devices. And whether or not we understand the numerology, whether or not we think it's any big deal, whether or not we think we can take authority over it, we better understand this. Numerology is very important on the dark side. Very, very important to them. And we don't even get it. We don't even understand that the left, the dark side, the dead side, they are actively involved. This is, dare I say it, this would be their Christmas, or this would be their 4th of July.
Yeah.
This is a big deal to them. And we're oblivious to what's going on. Spells being cast, all rituals taking place. Why? It's 4th of July to them. Would that be a fair assessment, Steph?
Yep. Nope. That's exactly how. And like I said, you know, a lot of these people down there, we call it going to festival, you know, and most people, oh, you're going camping for 2 weeks and it's fun. You get to dress up and drink and, you know, but there's that dark side during the day. There's classes, literally, like you're in college, like there's classes you go take, you pick, and you do this. So literally, if anyone out there has ever read a Stephen Peretti book, Piercing the Darkness, it's literally just like that. It's literally just like that. This is for real, people. These are your lawyers, your sheriff, attorneys down there. I met Christopher Penzack. There was Selena Fox. Blending of everybody together. These are your normal, and you wouldn't know it. Because they think they're doing good because they're not worshiping Satan. They're doing natural things, you know?
Listen, she just popped on something. I don't know if we can pull it up, Jared. Just type in this present darkness. This present darkness.
That's exactly how it is, though. They're the angels and the demons. That's exactly how it is. He describes it exactly how it is.
if you have not availed yourself of this book, This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. This,
holy mackerel.
Listen, I'm telling you, this opened my eyes to the dark side more than any book I have ever read. This Present Darkness. And then he followed it up with another book. I think it was entitled Piercing the Darkness, I think.
Yeah.
You don't have to read both of them. But if you would just read This Present Darkness, he does an unbelievable job of showing what's going on in the natural realm. And in the midst of the story, switches to the spirit realm to show you what's going on in the spirit realm. And as Stephanie said, many of our elected officials are involved in this darkness If you were to pick up this book and read this book, I'm just telling you. Look, you can find them cheap because they're old. It was published in 2003, so you can find.
I found one at Goodwill for 50 cents, and I was giggling because I had loaned mine out and it was falling apart so many times, and I was like, Lord, please, I need another copy. Thank you, Mr. Peretti, by the way. I love that. You know, that's exactly how it is, though. They're angels. The reason you can't always see things is because your mind is so entangled up in all this other stuff. Miracles happen all around you, and there's battles going on right next to you and all around you that you can't see. Sometimes we feel it or see it, and we're like, oh, I don't know how I got saved from that accident. You know, they're everywhere all the time. You know, they're there. And
yeah,
that's how it is.
So, folks, let me read from the description of the book here. It says Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. This says Ashton is a small town. Ashton is a small typical small town, but when a skeptical reporter and a prayerful, hardworking pastor begin to investigate mysterious events, they suddenly find themselves caught up in a hideous New Age plot to enslave the townspeople and eventually the entire human race. The physical world meets the spiritual realm as this battle rages between forces of good and evil. I cannot endorse this book enough. That your eyes will be open a little bit to what's going on. And if we can, I'm going to open that to my client in just a second. Also, then Jared, pull up one of the links I sent to you about the High Holidays. I think that's what it says, Jared. Called Holidays. Pull that up. If somebody. Anybody? Because while I got Stephanie here, I'm gonna write on this one a little bit more. Because again, as a football coach, when we were getting ready to make our game plan, one of the things that we always did is we sat down and we said, "Okay, what are they going to try to do?" In other words, I'm looking at our opponent; they're looking at ours. They're looking at our. I'm looking at their films, and they're looking at our films. And they're sitting in their room looking at our strengths and our weaknesses, and they're going to try to figure out how they're going to attack us. So when we're sitting down, we're making the game plan. I'm looking at their game films. I know our team. I'm looking at their game films, and I'm saying to our coaches, okay, what are they going to try to do? And are we prepared to stop it? So here we sit on April 17th, 2020. Do we have any idea what the other team is going to try to do to us? Do we have any idea what our weaknesses might be and where they're going to try to attack us? Any idea? And I would say for the most part, even though we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and all that, we don't have any idea what that even means. And she blew me away. Stephanie blew me away when she sent this to me the other day. If you can just make this a little bit bigger, we'll put this in the chat so you can get to it if you want to. Called Holidays and Sabbaths. I had no idea. And so we can just scroll down through those. Winter solstice, spring equinox, explains all these, what they're about. Summer solstice, it's 13 weeks. The autumn equinox is 13 weeks. It explains what they are. But scroll on down. Then specific dates within the occult calendar. December 21st and the 22nd. And it tells about the Christmas tree and the stars and the candles and how these all play into the occult. And then there's a holiday that comes up on February 1st and February 2nd. Did you guys know this? I didn't know this. February 1st and 2nd. Then February 14th, there's another one that comes out there. We got Groundhog. See, they tell us February 1st and 2nd what's Groundhog Day. No. It's not Groundhog Day. No. But they've got us to buy into it, right? So then we get into the spring equinox, 13 weeks, March 21st, 22nd, all the rituals that go along with that. Look at this stuff. It's unbelievable. Did you have any idea? I had no idea. So in other words, I'm playing against a foe, and I have no idea of his game plan. I have no idea the plays he runs. I have no idea, do they run sweeps? Do they run off tackle? Do they throw passes, or play action passes, bootlegs? Well, I have no idea. So here we are sitting in the midst of this game, and we have no idea the plays that the other teams run. We have no concept of it. Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, if you think about a doctor, do you want a doctor to be able to give you a good diagnosis the first time? That's evil. Yeah. The diagnosis is pain and sickness. He has to know the pain and sickness that's in the world in order to diagnose you. If he doesn't know the devices of his field, then how can he diagnose you? We're Christians. We have to know the devices of Satan. So, Coach, I just pray that the men in your queue and your audience understand the importance of what they're learning here. Mm-hmm. Of what they're learning. The things you're bringing are not right out of scripture, but they are.
They are.
But people don't realize it. This stuff is so important, and thank you, Stephanie, for having the boldness to do this.
Yes, because, hey, Mark, or whoever, why would the Lord say to us to not be ignorant of his devices? The worst thing that could ever happen to me, I think I've shared this with you, when I was coaching football, the worst thing that would ever happen was when we got tricked. I said, I didn't know they had that play. I didn't know they had that. And I would feel so stupid if we got tricked because I hadn't prepared our guys to be, watch out for this trick. And we always saw what some of the trick plays were, and we had them so prepared that they didn't bite on the fake and they didn't get a big play off of us, off of a trick play. Folks, we're being tricked. We're being tricked. They're running trick plays on us. They're making us celebrate Easter. They're
Amen.
Making us celebrate their holidays. We don't get it. And see, the church takes a cavalier attitude to it, saying, oh, what does it matter? I don't believe that stuff. It doesn't matter. Stephanie talked about the energy that's being produced on the dark side, and we are Amen. Willingly taking part in this energy. Oh, my goodness. Now, listen, I'm not a bah humbug against Easter and having Easter egg hunts with my grandchildren. I love all that and the opportunity to lead people to Christ during Easter. I get it. But whether we want to admit it or not, it has occult connections. There's occult connections there. Church, shouldn't we know that? Shouldn't we know that? When's the last time you were ever in church and your pastor did a presentation on occult holidays? Has that ever happened in anybody's church? Let's take a poll here. If that's ever happened in somebody's church right now, go ahead and speak up and say, yeah, we do that regularly. I'm going to wait a minute.
Yeah, I was in Florida, Mayport, and went to a Baptist church and did on Wednesdays. Actually did that, but not on an actual service day, no.
Wow. Anybody else? Are you hearing that kind of stuff regularly? Not to be ignorant of his devices. And here are his devices, as Stephanie said, and as Marcus taught us, and as Dr. Tenpenny taught us, right? Spiritual energy. Energy creates things. Energy can never be created nor destroyed. It can only change forms, right? So if the demonic side is creating a dark energy, is that going to affect the light? Yes, it will. Do we understand how that works? Do we understand we got to shut windows and shut doors? Do we understand that we have to stop those cones from being? Do we understand that? Well, no, we don't. We don't get it. And so as a result, we are defenseless against the forces of darkness because why? That people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And whether we want to believe it or not, they believe it. They believe it. And it's hard to beat somebody who really believes in what they're doing. And I would bet this, Stephanie, I bet the dark side believes their beliefs probably stronger than most Christians. Would you agree with that? I think she agrees with it. Okay, I'm going to shift gears here in a minute. Getting ready to shift gears here in a minute. Anybody have anything to add to that? Craig just put in here about the rest of his guy. I missed it, man. I've been busy. And so I'm going to try to catch up. Dizdar just did a show with that. He and Quayle about dark forces, man. You have got to know your enemy. And we don't. I feel so ignorant sometimes that I don't know my enemy. Hey, Jared, pull back up that. Those are called occult holidays. Pull those back up there again. This ought to be in every one of our files. Everyone. So at least we're not ignorant of his devices, and we know what the other side is doing. I had no idea. Go down to April 18th. What does it say about April 18th? John? April 19th through May 1st. There it is. Can you make that a little bigger, Jared? April 19th. So that would be Sunday, wouldn't it? It matters to them. What does it say? April 19th blood sacrifice to the beast, a most critical 13-day period. Fire sacrifice is required on April 19th. April 19th is the first day of the 13-day satanic ritual day relating to fire. The fire god Baal or Moloch, Nimrod, the sun god, also known as the Roman god Saturn, Satan, the devil. This day is a major human sacrifice day. Do you guys know this? Did anybody know this? No. Demanding the fire sacrifice with the emphasis on children. This day is one of the most important human sacrifice days, and as such has had some very important historical events occur on this day. Oh, my goodness. Remember, the Illuminati considers war to be a most propitious way to sacrifice, for it kills both women and children. So some of the very important historic dates that were started stage, April 19th, the Battle of Lexington and Concord, which made the Masonic-led Revolutionary War inevitable. April 19, 1943, after trapping the last Jewish resistance fighters in storm drain in Warsaw and holding them for several days, Nazi stormtroopers began to pour fire into each end of the storm drain using flamethrowers. They continued pouring the fire into the drain until all fighters were dead, blood sacrifice brought about by a fiery conflagration. April 19, 1993, 50 years later to the day, government troops, tanks, and other military equipment stormed the compound of David Koresh and his followers at Waco. Certainly, this operation fulfilled the basic requirements for human sacrifice, trauma, fire, and young sacrificial victims. April 19, 1995, Oklahoma City bombings. Once again, many young children were killed on this day. April 19th of any year in the 20th century is a day of dreadful contemplation, for it seems that as we head into the final stretch of time, Satan is becoming more and more bold and is using April 19th more often. Wasn't that the Boston Marathon bombing as well? Wasn't that April 19th? Somebody could Google that for me real quick, I think. Again, hey, what does it matter? It's just them. It's just the devil. Well, okay. It matters to them. Is it just coincidence? Huh? Is it just a coincidence? I think it Boston Marathon bombing, I'm almost sure it's April. What was it? When was it?
It was April 15th.
April 15th. So there we are. Right around that scene.
I was also going to say, Coach, a good video to watch about this spiritual energy by Richie from Boston. It's titled Setting America Up for Passover Ritual. And he has a guest on. You'll have to use discernment when you watch it. And his guest uses some foul language and a lot of New Age terms. But he does present some good information about the spiritual energy behind a lot of these events and what your that lady was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are you still there, Stephanie? Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out. Stephanie can confirm this. So why would the Boston bombing happen just prior to some of these ritual dates? It's because they needed an infusion of energy. A negative energy to complete. So there was probably a world event that occurred later that they needed this input. Now think about the blood, Coach, in all of these clinics. And think about them ramping up for events in unison to produce blood at a given time. Things like that can easily be coordinated because these guys are so organized. They got a big network. And what do? We create new denominations. Divide ourselves, right.
And no focus of our prayer. Like if we declare a national day of prayer, people poo-poo that off. I'm not understanding that the occult side is coming together on prayers all the time. They're doing it all the time.
Amen.
And we don't get it. We don't get it. So Stephanie, would you say, Steph, having been in so deeply involved in that dark side or the Wiccan part of it, that they're more committed to their faith than we are to ours?
Yes. Yeah. Can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, I'll hear you, please. Go ahead, Steph.
Sorry, my phone's kind of getting goofy all of a sudden here. Yeah, they do. They literally think about it every second of every day, all the time. They plan ahead for the year. They know, and there's covens, like I said, there's hardcore, you know, just like how we do too. There's like hardcore. I was never in a coven. I was just like, no, I'm not getting in all that. You know, I was considered, like I said, I was more of a shaman. Solitaire. I was always off by myself somewhere, you know, but I would, you know, kind of come around and just kind of watch some of this. And, but they put a lot into it in just about everything that they do. It's all about, they learn to control their intent and they learn to control the energy and they realize it.
Stephanie, are they scared of the church, Stephanie?
Oh no, they laugh. They laugh because they know the church can't, it was a kind of a joke, you know, they're like, here's all these Christians saying they're so strong. And literally those are the people that go to church, they do their thing. And then they come out and they beat their wife or have two girlfriends or, you know, do what they do. And then they go back to church and, you know, they make joke of it because it's go to church on Sunday, you know, go to church on Easter and Christmas, you know, what does Larry call it? Your social
satanic clubs. Yeah.
Satanic clubs. And you think you're doing okay. You sing a few hymns. You think you say your prayers and you think you're good. That's not it. That's what they want you to think. That's all you have to do. And they know this, mm-hmm. they know this. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the Satanists are hardcore to Satan, and they do all more of the, you know, the children sacrifice. But what these witches don't understand is, I hope someone's out there listening, abortion is ritual. Whether you want to admit to it or not, that is a ritual of your child. That is a blood ritual that is building energy for Satan. Whether you want to admit it or think about it, that is exactly what that is.
So that's Stephanie, when we can't figure out why they won't close down abortion clinics, see folks, this ties back in Frank Peretti's book, This Present Darkness. We don't understand the spiritual forces behind our elected officials who are making these decisions to keep abortion clinics open. Why would anybody in their right mind fight so hard to keep abortion clinics open? Because folks, it's key. It's energy. It's force. They use that. They need it. It's their oxygen. It's their food. We don't get it, see? And we buy into this thing. It's a woman's choice, right? A woman's choice. Well, no. It's far, far deeper than that. Did you ever ask yourself why abortion is the most protected medical procedure in all the world? Abortion. Wow.
Hey, Coach, can I put a piece of data in on that?
Please.
Okay. If you go to Genesis 3, right after the fall, 3:15, this is something that I pondered many times, and I think the Lord gave me an answer. This is what God said to the serpent. He says, because you've done this, you're cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. In your belly you shall go and eat dust. If you look and realize from man is dust, dust is referring to his energy is coming from dust. Not that a snake is crawling across the land like we would maybe read it originally. So every time a man is killed, his dust is energy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, can I offer something to combat this?
Yeah, Randy.
Okay, here's a good example, maybe the best one in the Bible. When Jesus took them into the Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16, this was the biggest occult center in that day, maybe in the history of the world, one of the biggest ever. Okay, yep. He went right in there, and what did he? Did he go in there and start pointing out, well, that's the occult of Tamara or whatever? No, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter's, he finally has the guts to say, hey, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Is that Luke 18, Randy? Is that Luke 18?
Yeah, it's Matthew 16.
Matthew 16. Pull that up here real quick. I want people to follow along as you do this. I think it's important, Randy.
Hang on. Okay. This is what Jesus did. He walked right into the gates of hell. Right there was Mount Hermon, right at the top of the Bashan Mountains, right there above Caesarea Philippi. The gates of hell. This is Satan's domain. Jesus walks in there and he takes them and he's going to make a point. This is all set up. God told him to do it. He's doing this. he's going to make a point, right? Matthew, okay, so what did he do?
Matthew 18, Randy? Is it 18?
No, Matthew 16.
16. Yeah, scroll on down. Clear on down. Keep going, Randy.
16, 13. Start at 13.
16, 13 is where it begins. There it is. So let me read this real quick, Randy, and then you can jump on it, okay? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some said, well, you're John the Baptist and Elijah and Jeremiah and one of the prophets. He said, man, it's amazing who you are. Well, scroll on down. And Jesus said, replied to them. Can you scroll down? And Jesus said, that's all well and good, but who do you say that I am? I don't care what everybody else says. It's a personal thing. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, this is the first revelation a man ever got. Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Woo! Wow, Peter. By the way, Peter's the first guy who got the revelation. I could go and teach him. I love this one. Anyway, Randy, so there we are. So what's Jesus' response when they say, when Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, what does Jesus say to do with it? Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, so my point is this. Peter spoke truth. He spoke a frequency. We can get into this and we can go a long way with this. But what I'm pointing out is when we come into darkness, what we need to do, Coach, is speak truth and say, Jesus is God. Jesus is the King of the earth. And, Coach, by doing that, what we're doing is we're making hell stand up. We're taking evil and we're saying, you have no authority here. You have no authority over truth and power. This is the true power. Coach, when the witches...
And they know that.
They know it, Coach, because they can hiss at you. When those witches, when we were in Columbus and they were around me and Roger was holding that flag up, man, they was really battling us. And they were like a bunch of little bugs. And I said, get away from me. You guys you're annoying. You put them in their place, Coach, by the Spirit of God that's in us, by speaking truth. We can make darkness bow down if we would just do it.
But we got to know, right? We have to know, folks. This isn't just fairy tale Disney stuff. This stuff is real. Why aren't we hearing about it in our churches? I think they don't know. I think they don't understand. I mean.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
This is what we got going on. I'll try and do it quickly. The different, like that girl with the Ouija board to come in her house, the spirits and the stuff's going on, crazy stuff. I won't go into all the stuff's going on with her, but Tom Dunn come down and helped out, met with her for about 2 hours. Then I had another guy after that. He came to me last Thursday after church. I used that as a testimony in the church. I'm explaining to these people what's going on with this girl. And some of them are looking at me kind of crazy. Afterwards, the guy come to me and pulled me aside and he was crying. He walked away from his faith. Living with a pastor for 20 years, upstairs in a bedroom, fell off the wagon, started drinking, slept with a witch. Intentionally, he knew it. She's casting spells on him. This dude's crying. He's holding like a gun shape to his head and crying to me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, another one. I got another guy the other day, a buddy of mine. We led the Lord a few weeks ago. He's seeing ghosts coming into his room from his past terrible life. He's seeing the Green Reaper fly through his room. Ah, these stories are going crazy of these people of that demonic realm. So I just thought I'd bring that up. And if Stephanie's got something on it, share it with us.
Well, we don't believe in that. We have not been taught about the demonic realm because, sorry, most pastors aren't equipped to teach on it. I'm not being critical of it. It's just the truth, right? You learn to do ministry with those you hang around, right? That's where you learn to do it. And wherever you were called into ministry, whatever, you probably were not exposed to it. Jeff, you can walk into most churches in America and you start talking about this stuff. They're going to drag you out. They don't want to hear about it. Right. And so as a result, we're ignorant of his devices and we can't figure out why we're getting our teeth kicked in. We don't have any idea what's going on.
Yeah. I told him last night, I left the car lot right before I went to church last night. Get this. One of my buddies standing there, I'd run to the bank or something. I came back and they're set up for me. They're standing out front, two guys, father and son. And my buddy's standing there smiling. I walk up they're setting me up for this. Now, I knew what they was doing. I walked up to this character's stand at my car lot. Now, I need to sell cars. This probably wasn't a real – this ain't going to help my sales. But I looked at Dad and the son, and this buddy of mine says, hey, here's JC. Talk to him, and he started laughing. I looked at the kid, about a 21-year-old, got a hat on his head, and guess what's on the hat? A Ouija board, a picture of the Ouija board. I looked at him. I didn't even talk about a car. I looked at him. He said, talk to JC. I looked at him. I pulled my lighter out of my pocket. I said, give me that hat. And I lit my lighter. And this kid looked at me like he was freaked out. Well, they end up walking away because I told him I got time for them. They're coming back Saturday. And Dad thinks it's funny. Their house has got all kinds of crazy things going in it. They think it's hilarious. So the kid walked away. And my buddy says, hey, maybe JC will take that hat as part of trade-in. I said, I'll take the hat. Then I can burn it when you trade that hat in. And they just walked away shaking their heads.
See, the point is, they believe that this stuff is real. They believe it, and we don't. Yep. We don't.
People in the church looked at me crazy when I told that story last night. Nobody said a word. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
I feel so bad. My whole life, I feel so bad. I, as a Christian, had no idea. I had no idea. about the spirit and the spiritual realm. This present artist has suggested. Somebody come on in. We got just a couple minutes left here.
Hey, Coach, I'll tell you where I learned about all this stuff. When I worked at the state pen, I learned a pile about all this. And then when I worked at the sheriff's department, I didn't learn all of it in church. I learned it out right in the middle of the war.
Out of necessity, right? Trying to figure out what's going on here. Well, read this book and you'll know what's going on and you'll have an understanding of it. Principalities and powers, folks. What are principalities and powers? Well, they are structures, spiritual structures, organizations that are in control of certain areas. There are principalities over your town, folks. There are principalities over your state, a hierarchy. They are there. And that's who our battle's against. And we don't even get it. We don't even know. We celebrate their holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
If you don't believe in the spirit realm of darkness causing all this chaos, if you don't believe in that, then don't even start to believe in angels or Jesus.
Yeah.
You either believe in all of it.
That's right.
Or none of it. It's all in the Bible. You can't cut the Bible in half and take the demonic part out. You can't do that.
Amen.
So, Stephanie, it's real to them, isn't it? Whether or not we want to believe it, it's real to them. And Stephanie, they really, really believe that if they cast spells, it will have an impact. They really believe that, Stephanie. Probably we believe if we pray against it, we can stop it. We don't believe we don't even believe it's real. We don't even believe we can pray against it. Yet they're all in, aren't they, Stephanie?
Exactly. And that's the deception. Satan wants us to laugh at it and go, that's stupid. They're just a bunch of dumb dope smoking hippies. No, that's energy. It's like Pinocchio going to the Lost Island or the Lost Boys. You know, it's all fun and games and smoking cigars. And then you get there and you get turned into a jackass. You know, it's literally the same thing. You don't get to realize it till it's too late. We need to pray more, power up, put your armor on, know your enemy. It's going to get a lot worse. It's going to get a lot worse, unfortunately. And this is why we're seeing this flood buildup. Yeah.
Folks, listen, I just heard this under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Anoint your doorposts, your thresholds in your home with oil. Just anoint them.
Yeah.
Just anoint them. Pray Psalm 91 as you do it. Get out some oil and just plead the blood. Anoint them with oil. Close those portals. Close those doors. It's coming in whether you know it or not. Turn off the stinking TV. Turn off anything that's going to propel this stuff and bring it into your home. It is real whether you want to believe it or not. Folks, don't miss this. They believe it's real. They believe in that power. And whether you do or not, it's like I put a meme on there. A lot of people don't believe in God because they say, well, you can't see him. Is he here? Where's God? You believe in an invisible God? I said, listen, you believe in an invisible virus. Which is more powerful, the invisible God?
Amen.
Or the invisible virus? Have a great weekend. Hey, yeah, we're doing Sunday. We're doing Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. We'll be here. Come and join us if you don't have any place else to lock in. God bless you. Be safe. We'll see you Sunday morning, if not Monday morning.